Good morning, Kansas City. This is the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John and Nate Buchady with Jake Gutierrez. Thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it. It's a very windy Friday morning, Red Friday, Freaky Friday on Sports Radio 810 WHB. So be sure to be careful when you're out there driving. Today on the show, we are going to have Stan Weber in studio coming up in about half an hour. We'll do our Border Patrol Blitz at 8:05. We'll check in with Tim Grunhardt on the phone at around 8:35 or so. And then our good friend, Chiefs Hall of Famer Duron Cherry, will be in studio with us in the 9 o'clock hour to talk about Chiefs and Raiders. He had a few battles with the Raiders in his career, his terrific career with the Kansas City Chiefs. He's also going to talk about his upcoming charity pickleball tournament to benefit the Duron Cherry Foundation. I wonder what kind of celebrities he's got to play in that pickleball tournament.
This guy right here.
Motion what you're doing.
I'm pointing at my head.
Maybe there's a guy around here who spent like $500 on pickleball paddles.
No, you know? I don't know who that is. I've spent a nice, you know, $150, $160 or something.
$150, $160, but it's quite an investment because
I use it every week.
You've really taken to this game.
I have.
And now who have you recruited for your team?
Jarrett Sutton is a confirm. So Jarrett and I are rejoining team.
You think that was necessary to bring that team back together after that? Well, you have to win it before to run it back. So is that what was it?
A short run in our mind.
The great successes that you reached, you felt like you needed to. But this is you saying that you weren't happy with your level of success, and you think this time around you can really do some damage.
Look, honestly, the goal is to come back to the 8-10 tournament next year and win the whole damn thing. So this is a slow build. This is the next step, right?
This will sharpen your tools.
Yeah, I mean, this tournament means a lot, but. Look, the crown jewel, the major, if you will, is next year.
Well, there could be more than one major.
True.
This is a major. You'll end up having several majors.
Yeah, like a Grand Slam tournament.
Who's your alternate?
Well, Todd Lebo just ducked me last night.
What happened? Let's hear about this. Let's air dirty laundry.
He was
let's
all but in.
Out,
I mean,
right?
He said, yeah, I'm good. Yeah,
and
yeah.
Then what
and
happened?
Yesterday, I wanted to confirm from him.
You got to get a confirmation with these
right,
people.
Right, right, right. And so, you know, I told him a while ago, and he said that his wife had other plans for him.
Well, how could you argue that?
I'm not.
You know, it's.
I'm not.
That's Denise Lebo, and she's the boss, and so there's nothing wrong with that. So we'll talk to Duron Cherry about that, whether it's rethinking having you play in the pickleball tournament. And
should be fun.
It's to raise money.
November 20th.
Right.
Yeah, for charity.
It's a wonderful.
Right. It's a great
that's
cause.
That's the most important thing, I think.
And I brought some gifts for Duron. So, because last time we didn't have.
You got him hooked up with the T-shirts. And I love 8, 10, and 15. That's Patrick Mahomes.
Right.
Number.
And then I got him. I went back into the.
Oh, that's an old school one with the score of the Super Bowl LIV.
Two of our Border Patrol shirts.
That's always very exciting.
He was pretty jealous of the one Grunny had on last time he was in the studio, and so I said, I can take care of you, Duron.
So take care of Duron Cherry when he's in studio later on.
He takes care of me, and I'll take care of him.
Right. We got a lot to get to, a lot to talk about.
A lot of news.
Odell Beckham Jr. made his decision, and it wasn't the Chiefs, it wasn't the Saints. It wasn't the Packers. It's the Los Angeles Rams.
And what a shock.
We'll see if the Rams can take all of the superstars, and now they've added Von Miller and Odell Beckham Jr., and we'll see if they can turn this into a Super Bowl championship. Super Bowl or bust for the Rams after signing Odell Beckham Jr. and trading for Von Miller and never, ever having a first-round draft pick. Jeremy Fowler did tweet, Packers made their push but remained at a minimum offer for Odell Beckham. Chiefs brass, including Andy Reid, attempted to sell Beckham on Kansas City, but Los Angeles won out. And so whether or not you want to believe Jeremy Fowler from ESPN, he says that the Chiefs brass, including Andy Reid, attempted to sell Beckham on Kansas City, but Los Angeles won out. I think it's very believable, and other people had reported that the Packers did indeed show interest, but offered him the veteran minimum. And so that seems like something that Green Bay would do, because Aaron Rodgers has complained about their half-heartedness when attempting to acquire weapons to put around him. And he has been at odds at times with the front office there in Green Bay. And so and then you see all these mentions and responses under Fowler's tweet from Packers fans about how cheap the organization is and everything else, and bitching and complaining, and say, oh, hey, we got this window, and Aaron Rodgers might not be here next year. We got a chance to get Odell Beckham, and they only offer him the veteran minimum, blah, blah, blah. And so they're unhappy. But Chiefs brass, including Andy Reid, attempted to sell Beckham on Kansas City. First, do you believe Jeremy Fowler's report?
Well, Andy Reid told us that he had nothing to do with it. It was all Brett Veach.
Right. You know? Do you believe Jeremy Fowler's report?
No. Yeah, I do.
Okay. Do you? You said no, and then you said yes.
Yes, I do.
No idea what you mean now.
I believe it.
You believe it. And you believe it.
Yes.
Okay. So you think the Chiefs put the full court press on, the Chiefs brass, including Andy Reid, attempted to sell Beckham on Kansas City. And so if this was just one time that's happened recently, then you could say, well, it's Odell Beckham. Who the hell can predict what he's going to do? He's a loose cannon, and so you can't feel too bad about it. Other teams, several other teams, wanted to sign Odell Beckham. Jeremy Fowler reported at least 8 teams had made contract offers. He could only pick one. There's going to be 7 or 8 also-rans that felt like that they were the bridesmaid but not the bride. And so Chiefs are just one of them. But recent history, they make a substantial offer to Juju Smith-Schuster. He says, no, I don't want to go there. I'm going to go back to Pittsburgh. They make an offer to Josh Reynolds. He says, no, I don't want to go there. I'm going to go to Tennessee. And he ends up that ends up being such a poor marriage that he gets released in season by Tennessee, put on waivers, and he was claimed by the Detroit Lions this week. And so that didn't work out. That seems like that ended up being a poor decision for Josh Reynolds. He went to a good team. He went to a team that has a number one seed, but he went to a team where he wasn't a fit, and now he's not on the team. And I would suggest to you that Josh Reynolds would rather be in Kansas City now than playing for the Detroit Lions. Right? I mean, you could say if he was still in Tennessee, you know what? Not a bad choice. You knew something, you saw something. That's a team that's steamrolling to the number one seed, even though Derrick Henry's out. Take a look at Tennessee's remaining schedule, and you feel pretty good about them being the number one seed, although who knows anything about the NFL right now. But I think we can all agree with him in Detroit, I'm gonna lean towards Kansas City as a better spot for a wide receiver. And so now you get Odell Beckham and Jeremy Fowler reporting that. And this goes past whether you think the Chiefs should have signed Odell Beckham, whether you like Odell Beckham, whether you thought it was a good idea or you thought it was a bad idea. It's another receiver that the Chiefs tried to sign that gave Kansas City the stiff arm. And then we can also go back to free agency Melvin Ingram. They had him in town, and they tried to sign him, and he said no, and he went to Pittsburgh. And that was such a poor fit that they traded him. And where did they trade him to? Kansas City. Kansas City couldn't sign him. They had to trade for him. And so I ask, is this something to be concerned about? Because for a while, we all thought, boy, veteran wide receivers, defenders, anyone, they'll be falling over each other, rushing to sign with the Chiefs if the Chiefs are interested in them. They'll want to play with Patrick Mahomes. They'll want to play with Travis Kelce. They'll want to play for Andy Reid. They'll want to play for a team that considers themselves a Super Bowl contender. And that does not appear to be the case. And so what do we take away from that? Is it just, well, You can explain Juju Smith-Schuster away. He wanted to go back to Pittsburgh. Well, Josh Reynolds, I don't know what the hell happened there. If I'm Josh Reynolds, I'm like, yes, please. I'm there. I can't explain it. And again, he's up in Detroit, so he probably is sitting right now in a hotel room like, what did I do? The Melvin Ingram thing was weird. It was clearly a need. And we all sat here. I mean, I campaigned for Melvin Ingram more than I think any other free agent out there. Sign him. And he didn't sign for that much money with Pittsburgh. And so you're like, what is going on? What's happening here? And now, if this is true, and they attempted to sell Beckham on Kansas City, and Andy Reid was involved and everything else, and he goes, I'm going to the Rams. You can see why I'd go to the Rams. The Rams are a wildly talented football team. But again, the Chiefs miss out on a wide receiver. They were aggressive in trying to come to bring to Kansas City. Are these all just isolated incidents, and we take nothing away from these incidents as a whole? Or do you think there's more of an issue here than we're willing to believe?
It's confusing, for sure. Not just this case, like you said. I think if you take each one of the cases in isolation, you could probably explain it away. But, boy, the way you just listed it out, I guess I hadn't really thought about it in those terms until you started to break it down that way, that is a lot of players that chose to play somewhere else. And the thing you pointed out, too, is not it wasn't always because of money. That would be the easiest thing to say, well, they just went because there was more money somewhere else. But in some of these cases, it wasn't really about the money.
It was about the money. It was about the money because they only signed short-term deals. None of these guys signed long-term deals. Last year was a weird year, set the cap at a different number, and guys are going to try to break the bank next season. So they wanted a place where they can get numbers, and they wanted a place where it was going to be a short-term solution so they could sign a big contract on the following year because of what the cap was set.
Dude, why would Josh Reynolds go to Tennessee if he's looking for numbers?
I don't understand that one. I don't know because I don't know.
There are no numbers there for him to get.
But he did sign there before they signed Julio Jones.
Right, but he was
going to be the second option before Julio signed there, and he was going to be a third option here. I don't feel any different about it today than I felt about it yesterday because I think Odell Beckham played everybody. I think he wanted to go to a big market. I don't think he had any interest in going to Green Bay. I don't think he had any interest in coming to Kansas City. He has a house in L.A. He wanted to be in a big market after he just spent the time in Cleveland and hated it and ran his way out of there. Cleveland's not a big town. I think New Orleans might have had an attraction because this is his home. But, I think he played everybody. He wanted to get to L.A. He wanted to get to a big, flashy market. He wanted to go hang out with LeBron James. He has a home in L.A. And so I do think a lot of it's about the money.
Man, I don't know. I feel like when you talk about big market, small market, I think that works in baseball. I don't think that's true in football.
Well, I think I'm talking about in terms of like,
but I mean, he's looking,
going out to dinner and being right. In the limelight and, you know, having an NBA team. He goes sit on side court at the Lakers game and, you know.
So all the stuff that doesn't have to do with football.
Yeah. Right.
Thank God he didn't sign.
Right.
If you're talking about being in the spotlight and being on the biggest stage, I mean, with the Chiefs and a team that's played in the Super Bowl the past couple of years, and I don't think Patrick Mahomes thinks, well, if I could just get to a bigger market, I could get some more endorsements.
No, but I think in terms of what goes on in New York, what goes on in L.A., that he just was in New York and then went to Cleveland and was like, oh, crap, I really love New York. I love what was going on there. I love, you know, the city and the vibe and Broadway and all this other stuff.
So why did Juju go back to Pittsburgh?
I don't know about that. I mean,
because he wasn't going to be the number one target or the number two target. I mean,
familiar with the offense. I don't know. Familiar with the city.
With a quarterback.
I'm not in any of these guys' heads, but right. I'm just saying that it's not like he signed a long-term deal there.
Why didn't Melvin Ingram sign here? Why did he go for little money to Pittsburgh? It's just all these different. I mean,
right, and I get that, and I do understand that, but I don't. The Beckham deal doesn't make me feel any different about it than I did yesterday, and I think they're all valid points that you're making. I think that
makes me feel different if Andy Reid's out there and they're putting on the full court press.
I just think Odell Beckham had no interest in going to Green Bay or Kansas City.
So then, why are the Chiefs out there pursuing him like this?
Because they want him.
Why? That's the next question. Why?
Don't know.
Is it desperation? Does it make sense? Should they be? Should they have been pursuing him?
They look at him as the upgrade?
Because it's not a great look. It's not. Because whether they're all related or not, you get that we're talking about right now, huh? People don't want to come here. Do they see a dysfunction in Kansas City? Is there buzz out there? Are there whispers out there like, maybe you don't want to go there? There's some weird things going on.
It's definitely possible.
I mean, we're hearing that buzz here in town, so I would think that players probably hear more buzz than we do because they all know each other.
Well, now the Chiefs can dig in. This is who they got. This is who they are. Trade deadline's over. We don't anticipate any more free agents to pop up like this, to hit the waiver wire, to be miraculously released in the middle of the season. So maybe there's something now you could circle the wagons. This is our team. This is who we're not going to be chasing any other big names. This is who we got. Backs against the wall. We're going to Las Vegas now. This is our locker room. This is our team. Maybe there could be something powerful with that. Maybe, well, we're not going to know until Sunday night, you know. But bottom line is Odell Beckham not going to Kansas City, not going to Green Bay, not going to New Orleans, going to the Rams to try to join forces with 58 other Pro Bowl players, apparently. We'll take a break. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB and 38 The Spot.
I think they have a great relationship. And I think that the chemistry is there. And like I said, I know we've kind of set this up because we're so used to the success that we've had. But right now, you know, everything is in place that needs to be in place. We got to make sure that we're coaching better. And on top of that, our guys got to make sure that they're playing better. And so we're all a part of this. And we're all going to take our fair share. But one thing I do know is that our guys are always going to give us the best chance to win.
Do you think it's fair to say they're still learning each other, though, the offensive line and Patrick, where Patrick's going to be, how he can play after them?
I think that's always the case, especially when you put together a new line. But the thing is, that's not an issue, okay? The issue is making sure all 11 are on the same page every single play.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Jake, brother, do me a favor. Remind me that I put my Diet Dr. Pepper in the freezer because the last three times I've done it, I've forgotten about it, and then I get yelled at by Lebo.
Don't do that.
Because then it's a solid.
Expansion.
Yeah.
I'm writing a note right now. 45 so please, minutes.
Right. Just let me know, because then Todd, he gives that look when he puts his glasses down on his nose. And
you do not want to get on the bad side of the ligament.
No kidding. That's no kidding at all. Good morning, Stan Weber. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Good morning to you.
Have you ever been on Todd's bad side?
Not that I know of.
Well, that's a dark.
Would I know? Would he ever?
Oh, you'll know.
Okay, I just wondered.
You'll know.
Some people are nice to you, but really they're not happy with you.
You've been
I can see Jake being that kind of guy who smiles at me, but really is kind of not happy. So
no, if I'm not happy, you'll know.
Yeah, I think everybody knows that Jake's not happy.
Not only will you know, but everyone within this building.
Oh, good. I like that. I don't mind if someone's upset with me, but I'd rather know the truth.
I don't know if anyone likes when Jake's upset with anybody at all.
So I'm going to check. Jake is a no. Is that okay?
Correct.
And Todd Lebo's a no. I will know that he's upset with me. I don't think he's been upset with me.
This will surprise you to know, Stan, but Jake has been upset with me before, and there was no mistake.
When Jake gets mad at someone, there tends to be a lot of collateral damage.
It tends to happen less often nowadays. Right.
So let's get right into this. I've already spent too much time on this show talking about Odell Beckham Jr. That's done. That ship has sailed. Bye-bye.
Thank God.
Bye-bye, Titanic. Let's go. See you later. All right. Let me know when you get to the iceberg.
By the way, it wasn't really the Titanic.
Oh, boy.
This ain't the podcast.
I know. I'm just saying.
By the way, new episode of Hot Mike with SSJ featuring our friend Sumo, the drummer from Dolewhite, and my son Richie St. John promoting their concert at the Uptown Theater the night before Thanksgiving. But get your tickets now. Ticketmaster, the Accidental Moguls opening up for Dolewhite. Great time to go out with friends and family at the Uptown Theater. She's great live music. And watch me dance, which is can be fun and also somewhat alarming. And usually I hurt my back. And so let's see. So I want to get into to what's happening in the NFL. And I am now, Jake, you were first with this because the day after the Chiefs beat the Giants, you know, I was like, you know, hey, they won, but it just kind of felt funny. Nate called it a joyless win, and you got furious. And you say, hey, they win. Stop complaining about this. And so then I kind of jumped on board. I said, look, we just saw these backup quarterbacks win games in the NFL. We just saw Jacksonville beat Buffalo. And you know, don't complain. There was every opportunity that Jordan Love could have come in here and won this game, and then we'd be bitching and moaning about that. But the Chiefs won, and the defense played well. They won the game. So let me remind you again, stop complaining about wins, people. I know we're all spoiled about what's happened over the past couple of years with Patrick Mahomes and this offense and two Super Bowls and everything else. Did you watch the game last night? What have we been hearing about the Ravens? Oh, it's just a team of destiny. They just know how to win. And then, you know, Lamar Jackson, he's the MVP now, most exciting football player to watch in the NFL. You can't stop their rushing attack and blah, blah, blah. And then I turned that game on at 6-3 going into the fourth quarter. And the Ravens scored 10 points. And the Dolphins exploited them when the game was on the line and they had a blown coverage. And I see Albert Wilson running wild. Look, that's Albert Wilson, former Chief, doing something good for Kansas City. And now the Ravens lose 22-10. And so, Stan, I'm sorry. I love my Chiefs fans and Chiefs Kingdom and everything else. But I'm over the complaining about wins. After what we've seen the past couple of weeks, good God. I mean, how unpredictable is this? Parity is here. It doesn't matter if it's a backup quarterback. Hell, that Jacoby Brissett and Tua. How do you say his last name? Soccer.
Tungavailoa?
That's when the soccer play-by-play man comes in. He can pronounce every name. Yeah. And so, Stan, the Ravens, they wish they would have got an ugly win last night. Instead, they got a 12-point loss. These last couple of weeks, you saw it. You saw your Dallas Cowboys, right? You're thinking, oh, no Dak Prescott. Cooper Rush against the Vikings. The Vikings are like, oh, Cooper Rush. After the game, like, oh, Cooper Rush, right? I mean, this is, I don't know what the hell's going on. But the Chiefs won the last 2 weeks, and damn it, they could have lost either one of those games.
That's right. In the NFL, this isn't college football where you're a big, big favorite, and it's an easy win. It doesn't exist. And there's tons of parity. You know, there's only one team probably left. I don't know what you think about the Rams. You might buy into them, but I think they're a roller coaster ride. I think the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are the only team that I will count on being in the playoffs. And when it comes to playoff time, they're gonna ramp their game up because Tom Brady's not gonna allow them not to ramp their game up.
So what happened to the Rams when they played the Cardinals? They got destroyed.
And the Cardinals, when you win in the NFL, you deserve credit. So we can quit forgetting about, which I just did, by the way, I forgot about how great the Cardinals are playing. But I think it's just a bunch of teams, and the run to the Super Bowl is available, especially in the AFC, for anybody. And so I might not be on the right subject, but I'll just say this because I'm not sure if I said it to you guys or on my other media outlet opportunities, but it's very simple. When the Chiefs lost to the Buffalo Bills, the down attitude that hit Kansas City right in the face, maybe for the first time, was startling. And I said right there, take a deep breath. Chiefs are going to be in the playoffs. Chiefs are going to be in the playoffs. They're going to be fine. Then they lost to Tennessee. And I think a few more people fell off the ledge and said, what's going on here?
I took that one worse.
Either way, I'd say welcome back to the bandwagon. Anybody wants to come back on? I never faltered. I still think the Chiefs are going to go to the playoffs. Why? Very simple. The defense was basically playing very near and threatening the 32nd or worst in the NFL. That's what they were. They're not going to end up that way. They have too much talent. They know how to win. They're going to get the lead sometimes and help the defense. They're going to figure things out. Players are going to come back healthy. You can talk about all the specifics, but they're going to navigate their way back. The regression to the mean means they're going to head back toward the middle of the pack, probably about the 20th best defense in the league. And then offensively, they're going to be fine. Now, Patrick Mahomes isn't playing at a high level. It's completely different. I get all that. But with the parity in the league, the way the situation is, 17 games, 7 playoff teams in the AFC, I've never gone off this statement. Chiefs are going to make the playoffs.
But how wild is what we're seeing right now? Like, I mean,
it's crazy. It's fun. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, and like there's no game. Like, if there's ever a game that you would think, well, this isn't worth watching, Buffalo and Jacksonville, this is going to be garbage. I mean, so now there's no game that you could put out
there. What
was
the Monday night game?
Right? I mean, all of it.
Monday night game was supposed to be just kind of boring and turned out to be a thriller down to the last second of the game.
What did I ask Chidea yesterday about the Dolphins? Like, oh, you know, the Dolphins, they don't have nothing for the Ravens. Well, they did. They did. Again, what did Ruthie say in Ozark? I can't say the words.
I don't know blank about blank.
I don't know
blank
about blank.
That's right.
Be creative if you haven't seen Ozark. You know what I mean? I don't know nothing about nothing. But I know Stan Weber's here, so we'll talk more to Stan after this on WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. So again, Miami beats Baltimore 22-10 last night on Thursday Night Football. And so when you talk about the AFC, I mean, it's just absolutely wide open. I mean, you can go through every team that's considered a Super Bowl contender. Buffalo, they're 5-3 now, and they're coming off a loss that's worse than any loss the Chiefs have had. I mean, they're
outplayed by Jacksonville.
They couldn't keep Jacksonville's pass rush off of Josh Allen. It was unbelievable. And so
I have not been a buyer of Buffalo for, what is it, 2+ years now?
I mean,
not to championship level. I'm telling you, they run the 7th-grade offense with Josh Allen running quarterback, running plays. He's their leading rusher. He's going to get hit. He's going to get bruised. They are not a championship-level team yet.
The Ravens?
They might make it this year, though, because who is?
Right. The Ravens last night, they showed that they've got issues. They've had some weird losses. They're 6-3.
They should have lost to Detroit.
Yeah, right.
The longest field goal in NFL history.
Right.
And bad plays by Detroit, or they lose that game.
Right.
Lamar Jackson threw an interception on Sunday, right? And in overtime? They should have lost in overtime, but they came back and won.
Right. The Steelers, I mean, they're 5-3, but that you watch Ben Roethlisberger, he's going to at some point just collapse on the field. What does he have left? It's painful to watch him play quarterback, but they've got that defensive talent. Mike Tomlin's a hell of a coach. They're right there. Cleveland has all these flaws, all these injuries. They're 5-4. The Bengals are 5-4. Tennessee is 7-2, but they don't have Derrick Henry. And so you're thinking, like, can they sustain this? Can they keep winning even though their schedule lightens up over, you know, maybe a week or two afterwards, they can keep it going. But can they continue this? Can they win at this level without Derrick Henry? And then everybody in the AFC West has shown flaws.
And strengths.
Right. So, I mean, I don't know. So right now, if I ask you today, if I turn that seat on and make it hot, it's a hot seat. Who's the best team in the AFC? that's my first guess.
There are certain teams that are really good in a one-game situation that are super dangerous if you're talking about like the Chiefs playing them. But the best team is probably between Baltimore, the Chiefs, and the Chargers.
If you had to bet on one team, I know you don't bet, but boy, he does. If you had to bet on one team and say, okay, I'll pick this team to win the Super Bowl, or to go to the Super Bowl out of the AFC, who would you put your smart money on? Which I don't know if there's any smart money to be put on any AFC team, but what team if you were going to pick one?
If I had to pick one, I would pick the Ravens. Mm. Over the Chiefs, because I don't think you're going to go to the Super Bowl 3 years in a row. Just doesn't work that way. Stuff happens.
What if I want them to, Stan? Does that matter? The fact that I want them to so desperately?
Well, it just doesn't work that way.
I know. I just.
But it's open for them to bounce back.
Right. It's, the door's open.
The point
anyone
is,
to come
the point
in.
Is, I'm positive about the Chiefs still. I still believe in their chances. But I want to point out, I believed in their chances right after the game against Buffalo, and I believed in their chances right after the game against Tennessee. And I hear a little bit more momentum and a little enthusiasm and more people waking back up and saying, well, maybe the Chiefs can do this. Maybe they can. Maybe they can. Because when they got through this stretch of, oh, my, we're going to play the Green Bay Packers. Oh, my. And then we're going to play the Raiders. The Chiefs own the division, man. Andy Reid knows how to win division games. And then the Dallas Cowboys, I'm so scared. You guys don't study the Dallas Cowboys. I know them.
I like this voice,
I know the Dallas Cowboys. I'll be super surprised if the Cowboys beat the Chiefs. I will be very surprised.
Whose voice is that, by the way? I like that.
I don't know.
Green Bay Packers.
It's just an accumulation of when they lost to Buffalo, boy, things were tough. And when they lost to Tennessee, it was over. Chiefs are over. And a lot of thought was, look at that upcoming schedule. Even when they ground through the Giants, who, by the way, play a tough football. You got to understand the Giants play a tough football. They're convicted in what they do, and there's a formula to beat the Chiefs. They stuck with the formula. They basically knelt down at halftime. They said, we take the ball in the third quarter. We want to keep this thing close. This is the NFL. But the Giants, what do they do the next week?
Beat the Raiders.
So the Giants, don't tell me, discount the win over the Giants and say, oh, that's easy. My point is, you win NFL games, it's good. But this part of the schedule that everyone was so concerned with, I still think I've always thought they're going to win two out of the three.
Stan said bring it.
Even with Aaron Rodgers. Everyone acts like, but the game wouldn't have played out the same if Aaron Rodgers would have been there.
We're going to take a break. We'll come back. I want you to answer the question. And I don't want you sitting on that fence post you like to so much. I want you to tell me, Nate, the best team in the AFC right now. And then if you had a crisp, if I handed you, you ever seen a crisp $100 bill?
I have.
I'd hand you.
I think there's some in his office over there.
Exactly,
what are you talking about?
He wipes the sweat off his brow with $100 bills. If you had $100, who would you bet on to win the AFC? And I asked Jake the same thing, because Jake literally will go out and bet $100 on this team after the segment. We'll take a break. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Nate Buchady, what is your answer? Quit making us wait.
What was the question?
The question is, what team in the AFC right now is the best team in the AFC? And then, it could be a different answer, what team would you bet $100 to win the AFC? Because the team that you think's best right now doesn't mean that's the team you think's going to win it.
Well, it's a lot easier to make a case why each team in the AFC won't go to the Super Bowl than it is to make a case as to why they will, because they're all flawed. Which I would go back to, I stand by the fact that was a joyless win against the Giants. That doesn't mean I'm complaining about it or that I think that the team doesn't deserve the credit for the win. But
you're talking about the team. We're talking about the fans. I'm telling you, don't be joyless with any win.
No. I mean,
be thrilled with every win.
My point is, and I'll just restate it, the players on the field looked joyless as they won the game. They looked unhappy. They looked they looked unsatisfied. And even their comments after the game were like, yeah, we won that game, but we got some problems we got to fix. And I think that's still true. That doesn't mean they can't fix them. But the Chiefs need to fix some problems if they want to be that team that you're talking about. So to answer your question from my perspective,
right now, best team AFC,
Buffalo Bills. And I don't really think it's close. And I actually, ironically, though, I still am with Stan that I don't really believe in them. I mean, I've never been a huge believer in Josh Allen like everybody else has. I mean, it seems like everybody's been
willing to... Which Josh Allen?
Well, the one that got sacked and intercepted by Josh Allen. Everybody's been rushing to crown him the MVP of the league this first half of the season, and I'm not there. But they do have statistically the best defense in the AFC, and they have statistically one of the better offenses in the AFC, and I can write off a game against a crappy team where you just don't show up. That happens in the NFL, and it can't happen in the NFL because all the teams are good enough to beat you.
Their offensive line may have been exposed against Jacksonville.
That's very possible. That's very possible. But that's one game, whereas like some of these other teams. I mean, look,
but they are 5-3. It's not like they're 7-1.
True.
I mean,
that's true. And they got their asses kicked by Pittsburgh week one.
For all the crap we're hearing in Kansas City about the Chiefs are 5-4 and the Bills are 5-3.
That's.
But isn't that kind of mind blowing? Yeah. What the narratives have been around.
But it shouldn't be mind blowing because this is exactly what the NFL has designed their league to be.
And it worked. It's not only designed.
Yeah,
it worked well.
And it's one of the things that makes it such a great freaking league is it's almost impossible to build and sustain the perfect team. It also makes what the Patriots did for so long so ridiculous because they make it hard. They make it hard to have that.
The Patriots are a contender as well.
They are. Absolutely. It would not stun me at all if they're there at the end.
So do you think also, would you say Buffalo is the team you would bet on to go to the Super Bowl?
You have to do something more than $100. All those crisp $100 bills stacked by his desk over there.
This is a cop. You're going to blast me for
at least a comma in
blast
there.
The hell out of you either way. Just go.
This AFC playoffs is more than any that I can remember going to come down to matchups. Which team do you match up favorably against? Styles make fights, you know? Sometimes one guy can kick another guy's ass, but then if you change the style, he's going to lose to another guy.
That's what you're talking about.
So, until I see what the format looks
like,
it's
hard
to
answer. Pick a team to go to the Super Bowl.
I mean, I guess I'll pick the Buffalo Bills because they've been there in the playoffs a few times, but I don't feel good about that at all.
Come on, Kenny Rogers, the gambler.
Titans are the best team in the AFC, in my opinion. If I'm putting $100 in Vegas.
Even without Derrick Henry, yep. You feel moving forward.
Right,
I'm talking about what they've done. I want to talk about what they're going to do.
I think right now they're the best team in the AFC.
All right, mustache.
I think they've proven it on the field.
I like Tennessee. I like their coach.
If I'm putting,
I like their quarterback.
Right. If I'm putting $100 in Vegas for teams going to the Super Bowl.
$1,000. Stan said $1,000.
I'm probably betting the Browns plus +3,000.
Oh, now he's really playing the odds.
Well, I mean, yeah.
I'm the guy that told me that the Saints were a bigger contender than the Browns were.
Take the odds. Take the odds out of it.
He's talking about values. They didn't hear our conversation off the air. They didn't hear the odds.
I'm just saying.
What do I do with him? It's just like, no, who you think's going to just give a team?
I'll take the Titans.
Steven, who do you take?
You remember the time.
We got three different choices. Can we get four?
Chiefs.
Okay. That makes four. This is going to be fun.
And we're only halfway through the season. I'll be laying here half dead on this bandwagon. I don't care. He dragged me all over Kansas City. He's still on it.
+1,200.
He's still on it.
You and I, Steven, together on this thing.
You're driving it. I'm just laying there like, stand where we're going. We'll take a break. Back after this on WHB. Thank you so much for watching us on 38 The Spot. Later on, we'll have Gary Lezak with a chili forecast. Gabe DeArmond. Oh, I wish I had some chili. A nice chili forecast. Gabe DeArmond, Matt Walters, John Kirby, Tim Grunhardt, Daron Cherry. Right now we've got Stan Weber talking football on Sports Radio 810 WHB.